Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 3 John. Tonight is study number 6 and we'll be reading from 3 John verses 5 through 8. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And I'll stop reading there. And we see in this passage that once again Gaius is addressed as the beloved. And as in verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, and that's just a translation of the same Greek word, well-beloved and beloved. And in verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And so the elder is continuing to address Gaius. He was certainly a beloved child of God amongst his brethren. The Apostle John, who is the elder in all probability, is continually addressing him as the beloved. And that's because the beloved is a statement that identifies with all of God's people. Well, first, it identifies with Christ himself. He is the dearly beloved of the Father. And because Christ is beloved, well, so too are all those that he has redeemed. All the children of God become beloved in God's sight. And he goes on to say, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Gaius is commended for faithfully ministering to the brethren and to strangers. God has given commandments to love the brethren, to love our neighbors. We're to love everyone we come into contact with. There are no exceptions, even our enemies. We are to demonstrate and show love. Of course, it's God's definition of love, not the world's definition. It is what the Bible says is love. And what is the Bible's idea of love for our neighbor? Well, it's to do him no wrong, to do him no harm, to uphold the commandments of God towards him and others. And it is to do the positive things of the Word of God towards him. That is to desire much truth be granted him, and that he hear the truth and know the truth, and that he might himself be a child of God. But, of course, that's out of our control. That can only be our desire and our wish and the thing that we would hope for him. It's nothing we can actually do, but we can try to share the gospel with him. And why? Because it is through the gospel, through the word of God, that someone is able to receive salvation. Or at least that was true all through history, all the time. It was the day of salvation. We know we're living in a time of spiritual darkness, as the light of the gospel has been put out, like a light of the candle, or like the light of the sun has been darkened in this day of judgment. However, we can still desire the very best for people we meet. We know God is not actively presently saving, yet he would have us to pray for family members and neighbors and strangers, the very same thing that we've always prayed. And that is to desire the best for them. Oh, Father, we beseech you, we would ask for our neighbor that you might bless them. Could it be possible that having had mercy, you might have mercy upon them. And that is that, is it possible we're praying that you might have already saved them before you shut the door to heaven on Judgment Day, beginning on May 21, 2011. And more than that, if we understand someone is in a church and they were bundled like a tare for the burning, well, still we pray for them. Still we desire the best for them. And we go to the Lord and we say, Father, all things are possible with you. And this is why Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he had to drink the cup of your wrath. And Jesus prayed that very thing. All things are possible with you. May this cup pass from me. Now, the Lord prayed that prayer knowing full well that he had come to earth to do the Father's will, to drink of the cup of wrath, and to go to the cross, and that these things must be done. Yet, in beseeching God three times that the cup might pass, that he certainly is demonstrating to us that we may pray for anyone today, since the Lord is pouring out the cup of wrath for all the unsaved inhabitants of the world, we might pray the same prayer, desiring the best for them, the greatest good. Could it be that your cup of fury might pass from them, since all things are possible with thee? And then we pray, not my will, but thine be done. So we are able, and isn't it wonderful that God has given us this ability to pray this way, even when he's pouring out his wrath? It is a tremendous testimony to the goodness and graciousness of God that even in the day of judgment, we can continue to pray for anyone and desire their best, desiring salvation, desiring that they might experience the highest good, just as always. And so this is just the tremendous goodness of God to permit this kind of thing at this point in his judgment plan and in this process. Well, in verse 5 again, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. That is, Gaius, it has already been testified by the brethren, has been walking in the truth to the point that they would witness that the truth is in him. Yes, they believe he is a true child of God with the Spirit of the Lord within. And so he did faithfully whatever he did to the brethren and to strangers. And this is exactly, again, what God would have each one of us to do. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, and let me turn there in the first couple of verses, beginning in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares, or messengers unawares. And here God is addressing the same two points that we have in our verse in 3 John. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren first and to strangers. And Hebrews 13 begins by saying, let brotherly love continue. Yes, love the brethren. And while doing that, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained messengers unawares. And let's just explain that before we say anything more. When God is saying here, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, that is to show hospitality, and thereby some have entertained angels, we are reminded of Sodom and Gomorrah, when it says that the angels of God came to visit. Now, really, that was a visit from God himself to Lot, who was living in Sodom, and the angels came, the messengers of God, the Lord himself, to warn him about the approaching judgment and that he must flee the city with his family. And so Lot, historically is true. He entertained these strangers and they turned out to be messengers of God. And it worked out wonderfully for him as the Lord spared him and his wife initially and his two daughters. They were able to escape the destruction of Sodom. And this is always the case. When we do things God's way, it will result in blessing for us, even in this life. And yet, what is God saying to us? Are we to entertain strangers because today, in our modern day, because it might be a visit from God, or it might be some angelic being, and we should really show hospitality to them? No. This reference to what happened in Sodom, the Lord is using to teach us to entertain or demonstrate hospitality through the sharing of the Word of God. And this can be done in various ways. We could hand out tracts, and this had great application all through history. We could just share verbally with someone the gospel, or we could hand someone invitation to a listen card to a faithful ministry. We could do various things. During the church age, it would have been inviting someone to come to our church because the pastor we thought was faithful. And all this would be under this heading of entertaining strangers. And the desire was to entertain them with the gospel of the Bible, with the truths of the Word of God, hoping that maybe this stranger might be blessed. And God tells us not to forget strangers, or he said to Israel, for they were strangers in Egypt. But he's saying the same thing spiritually to us. We should not forget strangers because we have been strangers in this world. And so we should show hospitality, and on a spiritual level, primarily, we want to set forth the bread and water of the gospel freely for individuals we meet. Now, we know how this had application, and we know all the various ways we could do this while the gospel was going forth. For instance, we could support a ministry that was sending out the Word of God, and it would be in obedience to this command. But what about today? Now that we're not sending out the gospel for the purpose of evangelization, since God has already saved all of his elect, are we to no longer entertain strangers? And the answer, I think, is no. We are to continue to share truth, to desire the very best for people, and to tell them all that we know. We witness to what God has said in his Word. And at this time, we have learned more information from the Bible concerning the transition from judgment on the churches to judgment on the world. And we've learned many things actually since May 21, and we desire to share them, and we desire to share it with everyone. Now, we know that if individuals are unsaved, this will do them no good, that no one's eternal state will now be changed, because any that are righteous will remain righteous, and any that are spiritually filthy will remain in the condition of spiritual filthiness. We know that, but we don't know who they are. We don't know who God saved prior to May 21, before shutting the door. We know he saved a great multitude all over the earth, and so we must continue just to share with all. We can't pinpoint who's saved and who isn't, that's not our business. We just leave that with God like we always have. And so we would want a wide dispersal of the gospel, as wide as possible. And we ought to be putting forth our time and effort and resources into sharing the truths of the Bible in order to entertain strangers, and thereby possibly entertaining angels or individuals that God has saved unawares. Well, let's go back to 3 John, and it says in verse 6, now I'm going to have to read, because this is really one long verse, from verses 5 through 7 at least, and we want to keep the context. Verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Now, again, the word, two English word, borne witness, is a translation of the one Greek word that also was used back in verse 3, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. It is the same Greek word that was translated as testify. So, which have testified, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have testified of thy charity before the church. And charity is another word for love. It is basically an old English word for love. And again, what is love? Desiring the best for our neighbor, the best for the brethren. It is to keep the commandments of God, and included in the commandments of God are to share his word with all. And so they are testifying that Gaius, who is a type and figure of the elect, certainly was an example of the believer in his charity as he cared for the brethren and even for strangers. Then it goes on to say at the end of verse 6, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Bring forward on their journey. All those English words are a translation of one Greek word. And this word is found several other places. We're going to look at a few of them. Bring forward on the journey. It's Strong's number 4311. And it means basically to help, support, and also accompany the brethren that are endeavoring to carry the true message of the Bible. We'll see after looking at these verses that is what it means. It says in Acts 20 in verses 36 through 38, and when he had thus spoken, this is referring to Paul, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. The word accompanied is a translation of that same word that we find translated, bring forward on their journey. They were with Paul, supporting him. They were praying together. They were letting the apostle know that they were with him in spirit. And they accompanied him as far as possible, as far as they could, to the ship. And then the apostle Paul got onto the ship. And it says in Acts 21, the next chapter, in verses 4 and 5, this is after traveling on the ship, sailing on the ship, in verse 4, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way. That phrase is the same as in 3 John, or it's the same Greek word, with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. You see, basically, what this word has in view is that when someone is involved with the true and faithful teaching of the Bible, when someone is sharing truth, and that would be sharing Christ, who is the truth, then that person or group is to be supported in every way possible through time and effort and prayer, as we see here again the second time. They're kneeling in prayer. You know, we might not be able to do anything ourselves. Maybe someone is physically unable to even leave their home, and they don't know how to get involved in the gospel at all. But does that mean they cannot help the brethren on their journey as we sojourn with the gospel through this life? No, God has even made a way for them. Everyone, every true believer, every child of God can participate and share in this wonderful task that we have today, which would be feeding the sheep and sharing the information that God is opening up concerning the day of judgment. Whatever the task is, by the way, it's a wonderful task because it is the task given us by God. Therefore, it is the will of God. We don't pick and choose what our task is to be. We don't say, well, you know, I think the task of carrying the word, the gospel, to all the world in order that people hear to become saved, well, that's worthy of my effort. That's something that I certainly want to be involved in, and I'll support that. Yes, I'll bring the brethren on their journey in every way possible for that, because, well, that is something important. But feeding sheep, well, that's not worthy of my time, of my efforts, of my prayers. That's not worthy of my resources or financial support. No, that's something less. That's something that it just doesn't sound good to me. I don't think it's as important. Well, who is anyone to say something like that? Who are we but servants? Servants that were out in the field. Servants that were called in from the field, as the field is the world. And God even addresses this in Luke 17, where he says in verse 7, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat?" That spiritually we were out there in the world plowing the gospel, feeding individuals with the gospel, but then the work day comes to an end. The 12th hour has come, and now it is night spiritually. So we have come in from the field. And then in verse 8, "And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." You see, coming in from the field, it's not yet time for us to sit back and for the master to feed us. We now must feed him and give him food and drink. And remember, Christ said, "If you have done this to my brethren, you have done it to me." And that is, we must feed sheep after coming in from sharing the gospel to the world for a period of time. And perhaps we know the duration of this period of time, but even if not, it doesn't matter. It is our task. Our task is not yet completed. Feed the world with the gospel, come in, and then feed sheep. And when you're done, and after even you're done, all you can say is, you have done your duty you are an unprofitable servant. That means that God looks at sharing the gospel out there in the world, plowing and feeding cattle, on the same basis as feeding the master once you come in from the field, food and drink. They're both commandments of God, and we are servants that are to obey and do. We can't say, well, the one command, master, I really like that command and I understand it and therefore I will give it my all. But this other command, it's not as exciting. It's not as fulfilling to me. And I don't think it's really all that important. If you don't mind, I'd like to sit back now and for you to feed me and give me drink. Well, what kind of a servant is that? Who will say that to their master? That is rebellion. That is a total disregard for the master's wishes and for his will. We must do what God would have us to do. And that is to bring the brethren on their journey to support the truths of the gospel until God says we're finished, until we have completed the task. Well, let's just look at one other place, looking at this word, bring on their journey in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's found twice, beginning in verse 6, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey, whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace. That conduct him forth is a translation of the same Greek word, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. You see, he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore don't despise him. Conduct him forth in peace. Bring him on his journey. And that is, we need to support the truth of the Bible now, as at any time in history, we continue to do the will of God as He dictates, as He determines what is important and what is of value, and not we ourselves.